Well, before we jump into it, gentlemen, let's let our friends in on what we were just talking about before we kick things off. And by the way, friends, let us know what you think of our banter. Whether you like it or not, it really won't matter, but let us know.
We're still going
to
do it.
We'd love to hear it. Look, we do try to get to the point, but sometimes we just got to talk about stuff.
Now, banter is just back and forths.
Yeah, back and forths. Today, we're going to be talking about governing authorities and keeping the laws of the land. But before that, Ray, my beautiful wife, Rachel, which is my daughter, AZ. Yes, it's Rachel's daughter.
Easy to probably do this whole podcast by himself with our voices.
I probably could, huh? She sent this message. Let's see if I'll play it here from my phone.
I need you guys to say the singular and plural version of woman. In New Zealand, we say exactly the same. And Kylie is having a really hard time pronouncing those words accurately because I've messed her up.
So this was sent in a group text to our family. Ray, this would ultimately mean you're responsible for messing my daughter up.
Yeah, it goes back to Adam. He would have said to Eve, woman, what are you doing?
Plural.
Yes.
But Ray, what's the deal with that?
New Zealanders are a little lazy when it comes to speech. I do like the American way of saying women rather than woman. But yeah, I got to admit it. It's right. In New Zealand, we say one woman, two women. The two let you work it out. You don't need to say, oh, well, who's he talking about? So you know that that's plural.
Okay, Ray, say the name of the grizzly animal that's found in the forest.
Well, let me just say that I once saw a grizzly bear drinking some beer, and he had a bear back.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
How terrible.
Yeah, it's context you work
it
out.
Really is.
An intelligent person can work out when I say I'm being attacked by a 6-foot bear, that it's not a drink that's heading towards me that's going to be alcohol.
I'm starting to realize New Zealanders, like, vocabulary is under 200 words.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Right. Do Americans have an intriguing accent to New Zealanders?
Absolutely. It's just fascinating. If you go to New Zealand, you're a hero. So, you know,
you mean they like it?
They love it. Yeah. It's very fascinating. When you say an American accent, you've got about 200 accents. You've got down south accent, the Florida accent, the Arkansas accent, New York, Boston, all around. And then you've got every accent's kind of neat. I really like the Indian accent. I find that very, very fascinating.
So today we're going to talk about obeying the governing authorities, being upstanding, faithful citizens, obeying the laws of the land. And you guys have heard this, I'm sure. Hey, bro, we're not under law, bro. A little bit of a twisting of scripture there.
What accent is that?
That was Indian.
Yeah, that was Indian with a twist of
Ray
Comfort in there. So, guys, let's open that up. This definitely is something that I think definitely a divided issue in the church. Well, people give lip service to it, but many don't really.
It's a volatile issue. It can create division, and we're approaching it with fear and trembling and caution because I don't believe any two human beings can agree on one thing. Would you agree with that?
I don't agree.
I agree.
I 100%.
I agree, but I don't agree. I disagree.
Okay. So anyway, we approach this with fear and trembling. No, it is knowing it's divisive, so let's do it.
Yeah. So, look, before I got saved...
You're saved?
Well, I think. Before I got saved, I mean, keeping the law, like, it wasn't a question. It was, of course not. You do whatever you can. I mean, you do it if you're in front of a police officer so you don't get arrested or busted, but otherwise, you do whatever you need to do out of convenience for you.
And so we're talking about civil law, mm-hmm. but not the law of
no,
God.
Not the Mosaic law. So let's open this up, guys. I mean, we'll talk about what Scripture says. We'll talk about how it's lived out. We'll talk about, is there ever a time when it's okay to disobey governing authorities?
I'm going to be totally honest and say that I...
You're not normally?
Not usually, no. The last 12 podcasts, I was completely dishonest. And say that this is something that I've been wrestling with, chewing on, and I am undecided, not openly undecided, but just not sure where the line should be drawn. So I'm interested in bringing questions to this conversation. And so I think, with all that said, as I think through this, and I want to hear from you guys, I think the issue isn't, do we obey the law? I think most Christians would say, yeah, of course we obey the law. The question is, when does the law butt up against our Christian conscience, against what the scriptures call us to do? Wouldn't you say?
Well, the problem is that everyone has a conscience that's fairly subjective. Mm-hmm. My conscience may not allow what your conscience allows. So that's where it becomes volatile.
Yeah, and I think the Christian, here's the thing that's interesting. I think from a biblical perspective, the Christian view of our relationship to government is very, very different than most religions out there. For us, we have two things. We have the refusal to bend the knee to Rome, to Caesar, to worship or to play political games that other people would play. But at the same time, we have verses like render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Mm-hmm. And so it puts the Christian perspective of its relationships with civil authority at a very unique and distinct position.
Well, I think that's a foundational scripture that you just quoted, where Jesus said, render to Caesar things that are Caesar's, but he wasn't specific.
Right, exactly.
You know, what is Caesar's and what isn't Caesar's? What is God's and what isn't God's?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's two really main passages, I think, that we can go to in the New Testament that deal with this. So let's look first at Romans 13, 1 through 7. It says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So that is a pretty explicit passage of scripture on the nature of the governing authorities. And I think in part, Paul addressed it, I believe not only because obviously he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and this is God-breathed. But because Christians were accused of a whole bunch of things in the days of the early church, they were accused of being rebellious. Mm-hmm. They were accused of being those that tried to thwart the laws of the governing authorities. And so I think Paul is also reminding Christians, look, the governing authorities are actually established by God, and we have an obligation to show submission to them.
Yeah.
So, but Mark, this is definitely something that conflicts with the way a lot of Christians live. And there's this kind of attitude of, come on, man, that's no big deal. I don't really need to do that. And like taxes are mentioned here. Let's take that as an example. This is a wicked government, or they're funding this or that or the other. Hey, Rome, Rome was not a nice government. It was massively decadent and a lot of immorality. So what do you say, Mark, to the Christian who says, no, I don't really need to pay my taxes, or I could fudge the numbers a little bit, or I'm going to give that money to the kingdom, or come on, man, it says...
Yeah, well, we are to obey the governing authorities. I think that there are civil acts of disobedience that we can do, that we can, because of conscience sake, go against what maybe the government is saying, especially when it falls in line of sin, right? If scripture says, hey, you're not to preach Christ, sorry, I'm going to. You can't
meet. If the government says not to preach Christ.
Yeah, if the government says you're not to preach Christ, I'm going to preach Christ, right? If the government says you can't meet together, I'm going to meet because scripture says to not forsake the gathering together.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. It's not an issue for me. And I think that through COVID, it's helped me, you know, make it a little bit more understandable. You know, but I do agree with Ray that there's a lot of bickering and fighting going on in the midst of this as people are just simply trying to figure things out, because never before in the history of America, at least during our time, have we seen times where we need to rise up or completely obey. Let me ask you this, Easy. Do you know anybody besides yourself I say this respectfully, that comes to a complete stop at a stop sign besides you.
Do you really?
Of course.
I mean, I'll get whiplash from you for you attempting to come to that complete stop.
Do you know the sweetest thing that I've experienced in that regard is the times when I do that, which I do that, it is a habit of my life, is when I look to my right-hand side or my left-hand side and I see a police officer, you know, sitting there in his car. And it's a joy because it's like I'm not doing anything different.
Hey there, friends. You know, there are a lot of things that we delight to announce here on the Living Waters podcast, but today is what you call an announcement of extraordinary delight because, believe it or not, friends, a friend of Living Waters has donated thousands of dollars to go toward giving away free resources, free to you, but we're talking about $100 worth of resources, right, Oscar?
That's right. Every week, we are going to be announcing 10 winners. That's 5 winners per episode, 4 in the U.S., 1 overseas, and these winners are going to get a custom design box. There's a box designed by you, Easy, which is the least exciting one. There's one designed by Ray, Mark, and then, of course, the best of the best is the one designed by me. And everyone, and every one of these, you're going to get tracks, books, a podcast mug, and again, we're going to be giving away 5 an episode.
Wait, that's my line.
Whoops.
Thank you for that. 5 winners per podcast. That's it.
Oh, and it's really easy to participate. Just go to livingwaters.com.
And friends, excuse this
slash podcast.
Very inept announcement. Make sure to finished. Listen to the podcast.
Crazy guy, I got a whole stuff to read.
Oh, I thought you were done.
It's really easy to participate. It's really easy to participate. Just go to livingwaters.com/podcast and fill out the form.
There you have it, friends. If you're still listening, please make sure to listen to the podcast all the way until the end, where you will be hearing the announcement of the winners every week.
Yeah, but you're getting the attention of the police officer. That guy's going to look at you and say, what's that guy stopping at a stop?
Yeah,
you're
right.
What's going on? Get him.
Yeah, he looks guilty.
Yeah.
He's a drug dealer, so he's really trying to not get caught, right? No, but, you know, it is something that that I'm passionate about because it's a conscience thing. Mm-hmm. And it's for the sake of honoring the Lord, you know? And in my mind, I'm like, the law is to stop at the stop sign. It's not a California roll. Isn't that what
that's what I was going to bring up. That's what California I learned stop. When I came over here. And I'm guilty of that sometimes. I get a stop sign. I think I'm going to stop. And there's this little roll that keeps going. I've actually stopped halfway through the road.
I stopped.
Because I've done the California roll and I'm out in the middle of the intersection. I just stop because I know I'm supposed to stop and then carry on. Some kind of thing. I'm crazy.
I am a... My disposition is to be a rebellious person. I'm a natural reformer and rebellious person. And I think it's partially because I didn't really grow up with parents. I lived on my own by the time I was 15. I never had, even before that, I never really had anybody to tell me when to go to bed or anything. And so I have this natural disposition to question authority. But as a Christian, I have found the need to submit myself to authority, with whether that's elders and pastors, to a boss, and I found it to be good, but it is hard. One of my prime examples is when you pull up to an on-ramp and the little light is red, but there's nobody on the freeway. It is a ghost town. Do you stop?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I wouldn't
even
think about not
years,
stopping.
I was like, why would I stop? That's not there for me, you know, for years.
Can I just bring something up here? Because this is a battle I have all the time.
Good.
Awesome. Okay, I'm driving along with a little VW Beetle on the freeway. Everyone's going 75.
Yeah.
What do I do? Do I say, I'm going to go...
85.
No, am I going to go... what is it, 60 miles an hour? 65 and hold up all the traffic. Am I going to get abused by everyone, cause accidents, or what? Do I go with the flow? And it's always an issue that I battle with. And I say to myself... Probably the chip officers like this movement. They want to get the traffic through quickly. Mm-hmm. Am I being a stickler? Am I being a legalist?
Yeah. And no, Ray, this is so good. And I think this is what our friends listening want to hear, that we wrestle through these things. I'll tell you what I don't like. This is a thing that really grieves me deeply. It's the Christian who just has the attitude, I don't care, whatever.
Right.
Do we not care what God's word says? I understand. We're trying to wrestle through some of these details, right? And I have some confessions to make. When I was a newer Christian, I was like, I am not. And back then, the speed limit was 55 on the freeways. Mm. And I'm like, I am not budging 1 mile above 55. And when it would get hit 56, I'd repent. Lord, I'm so sorry. Okay, that's how I'm built, all right? I'm a black or white kind of guy, you know? And so, but my confession is,
it's racism.
I had this car that I had gotten. It was an old Mitsubishi Starion, and the previous owner, it was turbo, by the way. The previous owner had done something, and it had a windshield wiper in the back, and it had the water spray, but he had turned them out. Uh-huh. So you can imagine, I'm going 55, right? And tailgated all the time, people honking at me on the freeway.
Turn it on.
And there were a couple of times, I'm like, all right.
Well, I think that's
like an oil, grease.
I know. Smoke, oil, grease. What's that?
I love that.
I like that. Because raise it and go do it.
Seriously, tailgaters drive me crazy. They come right up and they've got no regard for you. They've got an overconfidence, their own ability to stop at that speed, which you can't. Yeah. And you know that if they plow in the back of you, you're going to have neck problems the rest of your life if they hit you really hard.
Right.
So a little squirt here and there'd be great. Even put a bit of color in it.
Wow. I needlessly repented over spraying those people.
I wouldn't. No, that's just...
Look. Bring back the spray.
Remember, spray without ceasing.
Yeah, right.
There's a viral video that happened on the 91 freeway where 10 friends got in 10 different cars and they were going along the 91 freeway and they decided, you know what? We're going to demonstrate the ridiculousness of the speed limit by all going the speed limit and we're going to go side by side and not allow any cars to go by them. And as far as you can see in front of them, there's no cars because everybody's going what they think.
Is there a video on that, really?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
I want to see that.
Here's to bring it back to the conversation, here's the reason why I bring up my individual personality, because my particular disposition towards being rebellious and our perspective of ourselves being Americans, because to be an American is to be highly individual and to almost to turn freedom into an idolatry. Mm. And we need to take our personal dispositions, our personalities, our ways of viewing ourselves as Americans, and we need to submit those things under God's law to what he desires.
Yeah, and look, again, the other passage I mentioned, there were two, it's 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, listen, for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And so, again, this is scripture here. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man, you know? And it's funny, too. The other day, this was last week, I walk in the door at home and I go, oh my goodness, I can't believe what I did. I completely went into the carpool lane. Not even
by yourself?
Yeah, not thinking. Like, I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, I'm gonna, you know.
Now that's sin.
And then
you should have just driven straight to the police.
The light went on, and as I had been going for a few miles.
Oh, you have to get out of it now.
I'm like, carpooling.
It's $270 to cross the yellow line to get out of it.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. It just, because, you know, recently I had Kylie with me, and there are times I would bring the kids and take them. So I would.
Did you tell your elders?
Did I what?
Did you tell your elders?
They excommunicated.
Okay, that makes sense.
So if you've got a primate next to you in the car, some sort of gorilla, would they say, yeah, that's a person?
I'll tell you what my favorite is, though. When my kids were really, really small, and you couldn't see them from the outside, and I'd be going, and you have a cop looking in, it's like, hey. But it happened to me once. I was reviewing scripture. I remember specifically, it was Ephesians. And I was driving, this was when we were in Riverside, I was driving to work, and I just drifted into it was like you're in the carpool, but then it turns into the fast track, which you have to pay for. And I drifted in, and I think I drifted into the three or more. That's what it was, I think. And a cop was up on the hill and he came down. I'm like, officer, look, I was reciting scripture. And I showed him like my folder with the scriptures in. He's like, okay, I'll be right back. I'm like, oh, what a cool guy. He comes back, here you go, sir, your ticket.
we got chased by the police once. Sue and I, when we first came over here, we come back from Bakersfield at night. And a police car come on, beside us on the freeway. I didn't know what to do. We were new over here. The light started flashing in the dark. And so he says, pull over. And they were saying, let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. Keep your hands up. I know that. You've got to keep your hands up. And he came alongside us, and I wound the window down, and he burst out laughing. Did I tell you that story?
Yes.
Why you laughed?
Yeah, but I can't remember now.
Yeah, let me tell you again. So he thought we were smugglers, drug smugglers, sitting low in the van. And our van was low because it had a lot of books in it. We're short. And when he heard our accent and saw we weren't sitting low in the car with a pack of smuggling stuff out, he just laughed and left.
I fully forgot.
Well, I remember when we were coming back on a Friday night evangelism in 3rd Street Promenade, Ray, and I was driving your van.
Should you say this?
And the police officer...
Should you say this?
The police officer pulls me over, says that I was swerving. It was just an excuse to pull us over because it was late at night. And the policeman asks, have you been drinking? And I said, no. And Ray says, do you remember Ray?
Not really.
Ray says, that's not true, Mark. You've been drinking. And I went, what?
Ray Comfort.
Yeah, hang
on. Do you not understand the import of
the
moment?
He hasn't finished the sentence.
I think I know the punchline because I know
what were you
Mark,
drinking?
You had some milk. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. Ray.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I said, I don't drink. And he said, and he let us go. But it was so crazy when Ray.
Am I blushing?
It was so bad.
But Ray, what is that with you?
It's a smart tongue.
Can you not stop?
It's a smart tongue. James speaks of it. I was just being silly.
Oh, you were? Oh,
of course.
I thought you were being serious.
James is, if any man can tame the tongue, he's whatever. And...
That's the comfort. Whatever he says.
Yeah. And that was just the tongue ran off before my brain set.
You know, all these years, I always just thought that you wanted me to be honest about just simply drinking. Because he wasn't asking me about
that's
drinking
legalism.
Alcohol.
I knew you'd been drinking milk. You'd say I'm drinking milk, Mark.
And nobody drinks milk but you and I, Ray.
Uh-huh. I mean, that's
I love
gross. Gross.
What? You don't like milk?
Never land
like
flowing milk. With milk, you would have been kicked out of the promised land.
I know, you're not going to like heaven.
That is milk. It's got chocolate in it.
Hold on. Okay, but seriously. I digress. You guys actually enjoy the taste of milk.
It's chewed up grass. I love
it. Cold milk.
I'll drink it right now.
Oh,
nothing like a cold.
Never understood
milk.
It. Never understood it.
It actually.
Do you like ice cream?
What are we talking about right now?
No, I like chocolate. Like chocolate milk and
vanilla ice cream.
It's milk.
Yeah, but it has flavor.
You're 80% there.
Oh. Yeah, well,
milk. 20% milk makes a big difference.
Milk causes brain cells to grow. No more said.
Okay, so. But based on this passage here that I just read in 1 Peter, guys, we are called to obey the governing authorities. We are called to submit ourselves to the ordinances of man. That is the one that is my biggest dilemma. It's the freeways, and it's for the reasons that you said. I am prone, and I'm being honest. There's from time to time I wrestle. I try not to look at my speedometer, to be honest, so it doesn't bother my conscience. But there are times where in prayer I'll say, Lord, give me wisdom in this. It's difficult. I understand, of course, I'm not going to be doing 90 and all that. But you know, do you go 65? Or, you know what I mean? The flow of traffic and that whole thing. I wrestle with that.
Let me ask you guys a question. If someone does something dumb on the freeway, do you have to catch up to them, look at them to see what sort of jerk they are?
Oh, I never look to the side.
Well, you guys remember the shootings, especially here in California, that would take place. What do they call it? Road rage.
Yeah.
There was even a time when people were Ray. What are you doing over there, Ray?
I don't know if it can be explained on
you got to see it.
Yeah, you got to see it.
Yeah. But no, the road rage thing, and not road rage, but there was a time when something was going on where people would drive with their headlights
with their lights off.
Right. And the typical thing you do courteously is you'd flash your high beams at them to tell them, hey, your lights. But then they were going and shooting people that would flash at them, right?
Yeah. Remember Jasmine Dirksen? She used to go to our church.
Of course.
She had borrowed my car, and she used to always wear these red bandanas. And when she was driving my car, she had these people pull up next to the car wearing blue bandanas, pointed a gun at her, and said, ditch the colors. So she grabbed the bandana, and she littered. Out the window, against the policeman orders, right? Threw it out the window, and then they kept on driving.
Well, were they trying to steal her bandana, or just saying get it off?
Get it off. Right. Listen, I found this really neat little list on Got Questions as to civil disobedience. Christians should resist a government that commands or compels evil and should work nonviolently within the laws of the land to change a government that permits evil. Second, civil disobedience is permitted when the government's laws or commands are in direct violation of God's laws and commands. Mm. Third, if a Christian disobeys an evil government, unless he can flee from the government, as we did to form our nation, he should accept that government's punishment for his actions. Huh. And then lastly, number four, Christians are certainly permitted to work to install new government leaders within the laws that have been established, hence why Christians should be the most outspoken proponents for putting godly rulers Amen. And leaders in position.
Yeah, you know, and there's a saying that I love. I don't know who said it, but it says, we're the only times that we're to rebel against really any authority, because there are multiple authorities over our lives, right? Mm-hmm. From governing to parental to church and so on. But we're only to disobey authority if we're commanded to do something God forbids, or we're forbidden to do something God commands.
That's good.
And I think that's good. And I think, too, that it's important for us to understand that, look, our kids are watching us. Mm. If our kids see us have a cavalier attitude towards the laws of our land, then why can't they have a cavalier attitude toward obeying the laws of our home?
That's good.
As their parents. You know, we have to really think about that. I think the problem is we have a casual attitude. Wrestling through things like the speed limit, that's good, that's healthy. But an attitude of, nah, it doesn't matter, because of convenience, because of what we want, being self-willed, that's unbiblical.
Yep.
And it also shows a lack of fear of God.
Yeah, because we're resisting God, yeah. You know, as it says.
Mark, yes. You know, I think James White actually made a really good point on this that we haven't discussed yet, and I'm not going to belabor it. But he mentions in Romans 13, verse 5, he says, therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. So in other words, if your government comes along and tells you to do something that isn't necessarily against God or is overtly sinful, if your conscience cannot clearly go along with that, then he paints the case, and I think almost rightly so, that we can not do that act. In other words, if the government comes along and says, hey, listen, I think everybody needs to get the poke. Mm-hmm. The government says that. Him with a clear a conscience would come along poke. And say...
The pokeballs?
The jab, Mark. You
meant. Yeah. Well, either way, you don't...
Yeah.
Trying to avoid being censored, yeah. Right? And... If the government comes along and says you need to get that done with a clear conscience, he cannot do it, even though it might not be overt sin found right. inside the Word of God. Conscience is the big key.
I would say, while I don't disagree with that, I wouldn't say conscience is the big key, because you also have a biblical precedence. And so I would say the problem with the conscience is that our conscience is not always right. Our conscience can be persuaded or moved by our disposition. Like I was talking about myself earlier, I can be a naturally rebellious person. So maybe my conscience is like, if I don't see a reason to do it, I'm not going to do it, right? So should I put precedence towards my conscience over what the scriptures clearly tell me to do? So I would just caution with your conscience is not always the most reliable tool.
Sure.
Even as a Christian, our hearts can be sinful.
Yeah, I think Romans 14 speaks of that. You can have a conscience that's weak, mm-hmm. where your conscience as a new Christian says you shouldn't eat meat. And then you read right. Scripture and you're released from a condemning conscience where the Bible says meat's okay to eat. Because
And we recognize the weaker conscience that don't like milk, for example. We just have to be patient with those kinds of people.
So it's just common sense, really.
But, you know, but another good point, too, is that look, I wrote a paper on this actually in college regarding, from a biblical perspective, the United States being a legitimate nation from a Christian perspective because we rebelled, right, against the governing authorities, which was, you know, the United Kingdom and King George and the whole deal. But I do think that there are times, I think America is a justified nation established by God, and I think that there are times when there are forms of oppression that violate God's design for
human flourishing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that in those cases, it's okay to do that as well. So it's definitely multifaceted and it's very involved. But, you know, the thing is think of what he says, for the Lord's sake, in that passage in 1 Peter, for the Lord's sake, And then he says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Because our enemies come against us too. Oh, you Christians, you say this and that, but you live like that. They know, they have an understanding of what a Christian should look like, and they can tell when we've been rebelling against that.
That's why we should refrain from evil, refrain from the appearance of evil for the gospel's sake. I've told a story, you may have heard it before. Whereas a new Christian, I used to duck into a parking lot, not duck in, I used to drive into a parking lot and out the other side to avoid the lights. It was a boozer that I went into the parking lot of a hotel where they sold alcohol.
Booza?
Booza.
Booza means
bruiser.
Ice cream in Arabic.
Well, booze is alcohol in New Zealand and
booza.
Australia. Yeah, I don't know.
Boozer,
yes. And it didn't look good that I was going into a public bar parking lot and then coming out the other side as a Christian with stickers on the back. So that's an appearance of evil, and it's something we need to be conscious of. Because when we run through a red light, a stop sign, just do a California roll, someone could be seeing us and they know we're a Christian and they go, aha.
Yeah.
I think one of the common things that we keep coming back to is that there seems to be a gray area in which we don't know when it's time to rebel or say no and say yes. And so, you know, you mentioned getting the poke bowl. Let me say this. No matter where you fall on a decision like that, I think that we are certainly called, if not commanded, to show grace towards our fellow believers who may not fall on the same line.
Yeah.
Who may not agree with our position on getting a poke bowl.
So we're talking about things that are feeling kind of menial, superficial when it comes to war. If we went to war and the government said, all you guys have to go to war and fight, then we've got a problem. And then we've got to figure out, can I kill someone for my government's sake?
Yeah, and I would say, you know, and again, yeah, you're right. And those are places where you begin to think through conscience and also, is this righteous? Is this a just war? Yeah. You know, because again, it's saying that he's God's instrument or agent to punish those who do evil. He doesn't bear the sword in vain. And that's where I could see a just war, you know, in terms of thwarting evil for whatever purpose. But yeah, you know, another aspect of it too is to remember that is, I think sometimes we worry about consequences, whether it's from people who may disagree with us deciding to obey the governing authorities or not and what may happen. We had a family devotion about this the other day, and I was just talking about how we just need to trust the Lord in different aspects when we do obey him concerning what might happen. But as a newer believer, a family member of mine gave me almost a brand new car. And it was like their company car, but then they said, hey, you could drive it. And it was a brand new, almost $22,000 Isuzu Rodeo. This is back in 92. I mean, it would have been like a $40,000, $50,000 car today. I'm 16 years old, you know? And so I'm like, oh, cool, I'm driving it. And then one day it dawned on me and I'm like, wait a minute, company car? Does that mean it's insured for the company? I don't work for the company. I just started to get all tripped up on it. So I came up to this family member. I said, hey, you know, I'm really concerned because of the way the insurance is. And they said to me, well, that's the way it is. And I take it or leave it, basically. I said, okay, thank you. And I gave them the keys back. And
that was for dramatic sake.
That was good, right? I like that. I gave him the keys back. I remember in my mind and my heart and mind thinking, Lord, you tell me to obey the governing authorities. This is something that isn't right, and I want to honor you. And I did that. And I'm like, great. Well, how am I going to get around? How am I going to get to school? How am I going to get? Well, Lord, you'll work it out. And that family member came back to me later on and said, all right, I switched it. Here you go. Yes. And it was, to me, just a reminder, Lord, you're in control. I want to honor you. And the consequences they're really irrelevant. I just need to submit to you.
So. That's good.
Well, I think we covered it. I'm stirred, guys, again, to be reminded of the importance of having the heart that says, God, I will do whatever you call me to do. You call me to submit to the governing authorities, I will. Mm-hmm. Now, give me wisdom, help me get counsel, help me search your word more and to figure out, okay, but how is that done in those difficult areas like we discussed already? And the Lord will direct us. But I hope our hearts are yielded and submitted to the Lord no matter what. Thanks for joining us, friends. We love doing this podcast, guys, don't we?
Really do.
This really is fellowship. I just, before we were getting close to wrapping up, I was thinking, man, I feel so edified right now.
Well, the only thing that's missing is food on the table.
I know.
Yeah. We can take care of it.
Let's do that right now.
Let's bring some food in here. But really, I mean, this is This is Christian fellowship, and we hope those of you listening will do the same thing.
Amen.
You know, I'm writing a book right now, and in there I'm talking about the importance of fellowship for men. And I think for men, this is a weak area. It's not that men don't hang out, but unfortunately, that's typically all they do. They hang out, they talk about sports, they, you know, yuck it up, they eat food, but they're not sharpening each other. They're not digging into the word. They're not challenging each other. Yeah. So we encourage you listening to do that. And we're here to come alongside you and serve you as you grow in your walk, livingwaters.com. We have tons of resources there as we inspire and equip you to fulfill the Great Commission. Thanks for joining us. See you next time on the Living Waters podcast.
All right, friends, it's that time again. I'm going to announce this week's podcast giveaway winners. We kick it off with Stone. Ooh, Stone. From Trustville, Alabama. And he says, yes, that's the name, Stone. Matt from Eureka, California. Jim from Ozark, Arkansas. JC from Louisville, Kentucky. Carl from Santa Maria, California. Rob from Snohomish, Washington. Washington's always got those interesting names. Jason from Tulsa, Oklahoma. John from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Piet or Pete from Rotorua, New Zealand. Pronounced Pete. Oh, I should have read that note first. And Stephen from Logan Reserve, Australia. You're all winners. The goodies are coming, friends. Keep telling others about the Living Waters podcast.